Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Steve Kane, known as the Dean of Wrestling Referees. You normally hear me on Monday nights on Monday Night Mayhem Rampage Rants and Wednesdays on PWR Slam. Tonight, unfortunately, of course, is a very sad and tragic night in the world of sports and entertainment as we woke up this morning to the news of the passing of Joni Lauer, a.k.a. China. And then suddenly around noontime, we got word of the passing of the legendary singer-songwriter Prince Rogers Nelson, known, of course, strictly as Prince, or sometimes as the artist with that symbol that he used in place of his name for a while. And I will get into that in a little while. So I'm going to take this next hour or so and going to talk about Joni. I'm going to talk about Prince. And I'm going to incorporate some songs. Songs that, of course, Prince himself performed, as well as artists that were associated with Prince that he wrote and produced for them under a number of different names, and so we'll get into those. First off, obviously, a little bit about Joni Lauer, aka China, who passed away, was actually found this morning, hang on a second here. I'm sorry. I'm getting some, my normal co-host, Sean is, messaging me. So we might be having him join us here soon. Joni Marie Lauer was, born December 27th, 1970 in, Rochester, New York. Her parents were Janet and Joe. She had two older siblings, sister Kathy and a brother Sonny. Now, her parents divorced at the age of four. She and her mom and her siblings moved several times as a result of that situation. Now, Joni was actually a very, very accomplished person in many ways. She was as a child, she learned to play both violin and cello. She had started high school here in the States, but then finished out her last year of high school in Spain. And she learned how to speak Spanish there. Now, also at this, when she came back from high school, she went to the University of Tampa. Now, in 1982 is when she graduated. Her major, believe it or not, was Spanish literature. Now, also, though, during that time, she studied French and German and became conversant in both languages. So anybody who wants to try and place the tag of dumb jock on Joni Lauer is making a very bad mistake. Joni was conversant in four languages. Four. Think about that. English, Spanish, French, and German. And in fact, actually, now again, somebody that did not have the original intent, obviously, of getting into the wrestling business, and in fact wanted to work for either the FBI or the DEA. So, so she went on from there, and she joined the Peace Corps, and eventually was assigned to go to Guatemala. Now, at this point, we'll go ahead and take a quick little break to pay tribute to Prince and play one of his earlier numbers here. Nice little song, favorite of mine, as most of them are, Little Red Corvette. So enjoy this, and we'll be back talking in just a few minutes.
I say the ride is so
sweet. Yeah.
All right, and we're back. And join me back here in the studio, my normal partner from both Rampage Rants and PWR Slam, Sean David. Sean, hi. Hey, buddy. Thanks for coming and joining me tonight, man.
Yep, just for a little while. I got to make an appearance at another show, too. I'm on it over at the Looney Bin, so when you finish this up, come check that out if you want. It's a WU character show, but it's actually a lot of fun. They do a Mad Libs thing, and it goes on for about 40 minutes, but he gets everybody's information, and then he reads it, and I won last week because I had, like, three of mine picked. So,
All right, shoot me the link for that.
I didn't know Prince's music that well. I mean, obviously, everybody knows, you know, the hits that he had, but I wasn't a big Prince fan or anything like that, so I can't really speak on Prince, and I'm not going to. I'm going to let Steve Kane do all of that, but I want to speak on China, who I know was really trying to turn her life around for the better. She was taking bookings again, and just trying to not only trying to get back in WWE's good graces, but in the minds of fans that she may have hurt with some of the things she did over the years that were non-wrestling related. She wanted to leave a lasting impression on people in a positive light, much more than in a negative light. It's unfortunate that she's gone this early.
Yeah.
Because I think she had a lot more to accomplish out there. But it's one of those things that happens, folks, and we hate to say it, but it usually
I know what you're about to say, and I'm dreading what
usually happens in threes, and it actually already happened in threes this week because we lost the lady from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Right. Yeah, Doris Roberts.
Then we lost China, and then we lost Prince this morning. So we've already lost three this week. We don't need to add a fourth, a fifth, or sixth, or a seventh, or anymore.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
So.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I was actually talking about here, Sean, was the fact that she was, you know, Joni was not originally anywhere connected to wrestling at all. She was multilingual, spoke four languages fluently, and originally wanted to try and work for the FBI and the DEA. Now, after she had returned from the Peace Corps and her assignment in Guatemala, she did hold several different jobs. She was a cocktail waitress. She sang in a band, and yes, she did work on a 900 number. Now, also, though, and this might even surprise you, because obviously, of course, you know, you look at her, and this is a, you know, very tall person. I mean, you know, Joni was like she was actually like 5'10". So this is fairly tall, especially for this. You know, she was trained to be a flight attendant, and in fact, actually had gotten hired. But on her way to her first flight, she was involved in a car accident and spent 4 days in the hospital.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, after she got recuperated from the accident and was able to work again, her sister Kathy helped her get a job selling beepers. Now, you know, for some of us old school folks, we remember what a beeper is. We all used to have them and carry them back in the day. And that before we had cell phones, folks, we had these little plastic things attached to our belts, and when anybody wanted to get a hold of us, they would call a phone number, and then at the tone they would enter their phone number, and then the pound key, and it would come through the air. We would get a beep or a vibration on our hip. We'd look, we'd see the number, and then we would go call it. So that's what a beeper was for all you youngsters. And then here's an even funnier one, and I think it's good to have these type of things so that we can at least have a little enjoyment here about this. Mm-hmm. She and her sister, Sean, all worked as belly dancers. Now, can you imagine the woman that we knew as China dressed up like in an I Dream of Jeannie costume?
Probably
and being a belly dancer? Yeah.
Probably not. She wore some skimpy outfits, but that's what they made her wear.
Right. So
evidently people are saying Nick Bockwinkle passed, but he passed last year, folks. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, when something like this happens, all the previous passings are going to bounce up on people's news feeds and that. So,
Well, I want everybody to make a drink this weekend. It's the Purple Rain, 1.5 parts vodka, 1 part blue Curacao.
Okay.
Curacao.
Yeah, Curacao. That's right.
1 part cranberry juice, 1 part pineapple juice, and 1 part grenadine. Serve over ice, squeeze in fresh lime juice.
Okay. Wow.
That's the Purple Rain.
All right. Interesting. So, now, the other thing, obviously, of course, we all know that, Joni was a big fitness buff and that. And after she graduated from college, she entered a lot of fitness competitions and that. Now, in 1996, she competed in the New York City regional level of the Fitness America competition. Well, being the size that she was, unfortunately, it caused her to finish in last place. So, here's the thing. Now, of course, a lot of people may already know this, that she trained at Killer Kowalski's school, which, of course, was the exact same school that Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, trained
right.
at earlier. Okay. Now, get this one, Sean. Her first match in 1995, while she was training, was against a male wrestler who was dressed as a woman. And so while she was doing that, she worked at a number of different independent promotions around the Northeast there under the name of Joni Lee.
Right.
And guess who set up a lot of her early matches?
I don't know, but you're going to tell me.
Moolah.
Well, that's not surprising at all.
Yep. I got to say, Moolah is probably one of the most prolific women. We know that her power in the wrestling business and for women's wrestling was, very, very famous and that. So, that's why.
Put things in a little bit of a lighter note. We'll recap SmackDown here very quickly. If there's something that you want to touch on, Steve, interrupt me.
Sure.
I didn't get to watch it tonight because I had some company over. Miz with special guest AJ Styles.
Right.
Miz TV,
yeah, they,
Duke. I could do with or without the Miz TV.
Right. Well, they set that up as an angle to do a match later.
Right.
Of course.
Ryback defeated Kalisto. Kalisto has lost the Intercontinental title and seems to be back on the jobber list, unfortunately.
You mean the U.S. title?
Yes, sorry. The U.S. title and now back on the jobber list and going to have to work his way back up for that.
Yep.
Which is going to suck, but at least he got a shot with it. Dolph Ziggler versus Baron Corbin ended in no contest. That's no surprise. This is going to probably lead to some kind of stipulation match at Payback.
Payback, right.
AJ Styles defeats The Miz. That was the match set up earlier in the night. No surprise that AJ defeats The Miz with AJ getting ready for his title shot.
Right. Well, of course, the interesting thing about that match, though, Sean, Miz tried to leave, and his way got blocked.
Uh-oh.
And, of course, we know who.
Yeah.
But also, there was a great segment between Enzo and Chaos and the Vaudevillains.
Yes.
It's all Mike, but it was well done by all four of them and that.
You had Natalya and Paige defeat Naomi and Tamina.
Right.
And you had R-Truth defeat Fandango.
Yes.
And
yes.
Your
with
main
Goldust
event
as a special referee, and it was hilarious.
Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I might have to go back and watch that later.
You
and
will.
Then Kevin
you
Owens
will.
And
That's
Chris
funny.
Jericho defeated Dean Ambrose and Sami Zayn.
Yeah. Another good match.
So. I'm hoping that maybe this means that, we know that China has rejoined with Eddie Guerrero up in the sky, but I'm hoping that this will mean WWE will give her some kind of recognition of some sort.
Right. Yeah. I found it rather strange, and this is the one point of controversy that I will address on the show tonight. I found it rather strange that the person who made the official posting on Twitter about it was, of all people, Stephanie.
Wow.
I still, that's one I don't understand. Now, why was it maybe not Shane, Jerry Briscoe, Pat Patterson, somebody else within the company,
Right.
So, all right, I'm gonna go ahead, hit up another Prince song. I'm gonna play Prince's version of this song first, and then later on, I'm gonna play the cover version by another artist. And this is one of his great little funky numbers, and I've always liked this one. This Prince's song. Yeah. So.
Well, before you do that, I'm going to head out, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to share my thoughts on China. May she rest in peace. I will see you over at Looney Bin whenever you get done wrapping this thing up, Steve.
All right. Thanks, Sean. I will see you then.
All right.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in just a few minutes after Prince. All right, Prince and Kiss. And now, back to Joni's story. Now, she actually met up with Paul and Shawn Michaels after a show in 1996. So they saw some tapes of her matches. They were impressed. They decided to bring her into the then WWF as a bodyguard. Now, Vince really didn't want her in originally because this was a believability issue. He didn't, think the audience would believe, that a woman could beat up a man. Now, at that point, she was then approached by WCW, which was going to bring her into the NWO as the only female member. Now, originally, she did accept that offer, but then got contacted by Shane McMahon, who told her that she was just about to be hired. Now, Kowalski claims that it was actually his introduction by Shane was the reason that she got hired. So she made her debut February 16th, 1997 at In Your House 13 Final Four. Now she emerged from a ringside seat and started choking Marlena while Goldust was in the ring with Triple H. So her original role, of course, as we know, is that she was his bodyguard. And then, eventually, of course, was part of the formation of D-Generation X, which was, of course, with Hunter, Shawn Michaels, and Rick Rude at the time. Now, in 1999, she became the first ever female entrant in the Royal Rumble. So she broke barriers. She broke barriers. And then later on in the St. Valentine's Massacre pay-per-view, she teamed with Kane against Triple H and X-Pac. And then at WrestleMania 15, she turned on Kane and then looked like she was back with DX, but then did a double turn and turned on them and became part of the corporation. And then in 1998, she became the first female to qualify for the King of the Ring. She became the number one contender for the then WWF Championship. She fought Jeff Jarrett at Unforgiven for the Intercontinental title and then defeated him for it at No Mercy. And so now, of course, the claims are that Jarrett demanded, because he was on his way out, $300,000 to drop the title. But now, those rumors, again, we don't know exactly whether that's real or not. So, all right. So back to a little music here. And I'm going to go from Prince to one of the side groups that he wrote and produced for. And this was the group Vanity Six. Now, Vanity Six was fronted by his then-girlfriend, who went under the name of Vanity. But the lead girl wound up becoming Apollonia Quintero, who later, of course, became Prince's real-life girlfriend and the co-star in the movie Purple Rain. And this is their song, Nasty Girl.
Tonight I can no longer hold it. Get it up.
and Vanity Six with Nasty Girl. Now, getting back to Joni's story, after Jarrett had left, she then feuded with Chris Jericho for the Intercontinental title. She defeated him at Survivor Series, then lost to him at Armageddon. And then December 28th, SmackDown, both wrestlers pinned each other, Jericho and Joni. And so at that time, Stephanie, being the head of authority, declared them co-champions. And then at the Royal Rumble, Jericho and Joni defended against the Hardcore Holly in a triple threat match. Jericho won. Now, of course, the WWF no longer recognizes the co-champions reign and just considers that a continuation of Jericho's second Intercontinental title reign. And then in 2000, she was paired up with Eddie Guerrero, playing his on-screen girlfriend. And of course, that was the era of Lie, Cheat, and Steal. And then later on that summer, they turned face, with Guerrero then starting to call her Mamacita. They faced Val Venus and a then rookie Trish Stratus at SummerSlam with the Intercontinental title on the line. Joni wins the match, but then 2 weeks later, in a triple threat match with Kurt Angle, loses the belt to Eddie. And then in November of 2000, they have a storyline split when she discovers Eddie in the shower with two other women. Now, at that same time, that's when she made her rough appearance in Playboy. And then that was what set in motion the Right to Censor storyline, which put her into a feud with Ivory, who, of course, came from the GLOW roster. And they fought over the women's title. And then that went into the Royal Rumble. And so then she proceeded to win the women's title from Ivory at WrestleMania 17. It was a straight squash match. And then defended the title against Lita at Judgment Day in 2001. And then shortly from there, vacated the title, and she officially left on November 30th of 2001, and that was the end of the China storyline. So, all right, now going ahead and going on to more Prince, and I'll go ahead and get back to the movie that everybody knows, Purple Rain. Now, of course, Prince, we know not just a musician, songwriter, but he was also a fabulous producer. And his friends from the Minneapolis music scene were part of that movie. And one of the most iconic songs and one of the most iconic scenes at the club, which was in fact the actual club that they all performed at back in the day. And this song is by his best friend Morris Day and the Time, and this is one of my personal favorites, little thing called Jungle Love.
Ha ha ha! for what?
Oh, we are, we are.
Morris Day and the Time, Jungle Love. Now, I had mentioned earlier that I, when I played Kiss, that there was another artist who had also done this song, and he did actually a very good version of this. And so this is Kiss, again, only this version is the one done by Tom Jones.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with. I just want your extra time and your kiss. You gotta not talk dirty, baby, if you wanna impress me. You can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me. Let me be your fantasy, and maybe you could be mine. You just leave it all up to me. We can have a good. Think I better dance now.
We'll be right back.
Cheers.
And that was Tom Jones' version of the Prince hit Kiss. Now, of course, Prince, we know, was a very prolific, as I said, musician, singer, songwriter. He actually wrote his first song at the age of 7. And then he recorded with his cousin's band, 94 East. And then his first album, For You, was released in 1978. And then his 79 album, Prince, went platinum with songs Why You Want to Treat Me So Bad and I Want to Be Your Lover. He then produced 3 more very successful records, Dirty Mind, Controversy, and, of course, 1999. And in fact, why don't we just go ahead and we will play that one right now, 1999. With another one of his biggest hits, 1999. Now, we're going to get ready to wrap this thing up and head over to another program called Looney Bin Radio. It's also here on Blog Talk, so you can look that up and join me here in just a few minutes. Prince was an amazing writer. He's one of the best-selling artists of all time. He sold 100 million records worldwide, 7 Grammys, Golden Globe, and an Oscar. In 2004, in his first year of eligibility, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and Rolling Stone ranked him as number 27 on its list of the 100 greatest artists of all time. With that, thank you for joining me tonight for this tribute. I'm going to go out on an extended version, extended live version of that song from that famous movie. And this is the title track done live. So enjoy it. It'll be going over a little bit, but hopefully you'll want to stay with it and maybe even join me in shedding a tear or two. Rest in peace, Joni. Rest in peace, Prince. Purple Rain.
Purple rain.
love you very, very much. Good night.